Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record program number 1354, Conversations with Monty. This is conversation number 28. This is being recorded on October 26th of the year 2024. And before I bring back to our airwaves our brilliant, my new brilliant co-host, Monty, I want to once again emphatically recommend with a capital E and a capital R that listeners to this program preserve an archive of all of this material for themselves and for those who come afterward, because I couldn't be more pessimistic about the future. All of my life's work, 45 plus years, I'm in my 46th year on the air, all of that work, both audio and printed, and a mini library of old anti-fascist books are available on a 64 gigabyte flash drive that is available for a nominal tax deductible contribution. We've outgrown the 32 gigabyte flash drive, too much material to fit on 32 gigabytes, and this will include all of the shows that we've done to date and probably some for the next, a little bit, with Monty, all of my information about the genesis of COVID. It's all available for a nominal tax-deductible contribution, and again, I get no money whatsoever from this. Proof positive that perhaps my most severe critics are right and that I am nuts, and this is my whole life's work. I'm an old guy, and I get no money from this. Bobby also obviously gets no money from this. So with that advisory, once again, I want to bring back Pure Airwaves, my new co-host, Monty. Monty, welcome back.
Thank you, Dave.
No, I made a brief reference in the article from. Oh, this is from the. I got this. Did not include this in the last program, but that is the name of that article. By the way, all of these articles, everything will be in the written description for the record 1353 and 1354. This is from the LA Times. Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco, B-I-A-N-C-O, frequent Newsom critic, ponders a run to succeed him, unquote, by Hannah Fry from the LA Times from June 8th of 2024. This is Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco, B-I-A-N-C-O. And he is a dues-paying member of the Oath Keepers, one of the groups implicated in the January 6th insurrection. And again, that meant all of this will be available in the written description for these programs when it gets published. Now, Monty, maybe what we'll do with this long article is take turns reading it, because it's a long article and you know, people will be perhaps tired of my sonorous tones, and we'll pivot over to yours. But I've been talking about the presidential race, and I have no use for Kamala Harris, and yet it is not realistic to expect a major party presidential candidate to go against the dictates of the deep state that Donald Trump professes to be running against. It's obviously, if you study his record, he's part of it. But if they did, then if they're lucky, they'll simply be eased out of office, like Jimmy Carter, like Richard Nixon, or maybe not so gently like John F. Kennedy. But it's really not so much what Kamala Harris is, it's what she isn't. And she isn't a Nazi, and she has some decent ideas about making Social Security and Medicare more secure. The Republicans are going to go after that. As an old geezer that's dependent on those, I'm not in a position to be objective about that. But
I should note that nor am I, because I'm a combat veteran living on a pension.
And I believe, am I correct, Monty, you served for 10 years in the U.S. Army?
Yes, sir. 4 years active, 4 years National Guard in California, incidentally in Riverside County, and then 2 years in the inactive reserve. So yes, 10 years.
And you are completely, fully disabled. In other words, you basically literally paid your dues. You shed your blood on the fields of honor, so to speak, in Afghanistan.
Yes, sir. I served two combat tours in Afghanistan and a forward operations tour in Kuwait, which I was a part of an air crew, mechanic crew operations that flew over Iraq and Syria. And I was an artilleryman in Afghanistan for two combat tours, and that was pretty hairy. But yes, I am 100% permanently and totally disabled. And for a few viewers that find that I have trouble pronouncing words or hear me slurring my words, that's because I operated an industrial burn pit in Afghanistan, and my teeth are effectively been melted out of my mouth, you know, so.
And again, you're one of the people, you serve in the forever wars that Donald Trump says he's, you know, going to end. And so it just, I'm in the Vietnam generation, as is Donald Trump. He got a medical deferment for something supposedly wrong with his foot. He can't remember which one it was. Perhaps it's the one that he keeps putting in his mouth, but that's conjecture. But again, the sheriff, Chad Bianco of Riverside County, is a member of the Oath Keepers, and so that is quite remarkable. But again, with Kamala Harris, it's not so much what she is, it's what she isn't. What she isn't is a Nazi, and Donald Trump isn't. If that seems far out extreme. I mean, people like General Mark Milley, the retired chairman of the Joint Chiefs, has said that Donald Trump is a fascist. John Kelly, a Marine Corps general who was his, I think, his chief of staff at one point, Trump's that is, has also said he's a fascist. And so now, and these people are certainly not, you know, screaming leftists or whatever, but sadly, things have caught up to what I have been warning about. And that is not meant to be egotistical. It is with more regret than I could possibly, I think, put into words. And there isn't a whole lot I can't put into words. But I want you, way back when, and I'm an old geezer again, in my 46th year on the air, one of the early books about the assassinations, and I've used this in Guns of November, Part four. I've used it in the AFA program about the assassination of Martin Luther King, and in numerous shows, a miscellaneous archive show, and also For the Record shows about the shooting of George Wallace. And that is a book that came out in soft cover called Government by Gunplay in 1976. It was co-authored by Sidney Blumenthal and Harvey Yazijian, Y-A-Z-I-J-I-A-N. Sidney Blumenthal, by the way, the father of Max Blumenthal, the very skilled and brilliant editor of The Gray Zone. And Sidney Blumenthal has an op-ed piece in The Guardian, a British newspaper, of October 7th of 2024. And it's called Donald Trump's Hitlerian Logic is No Mistake, by Sidney Blumenthal. And the subhead is, "The former president claims to have never read Mein Kampf, but his use of blood and soil rhetoric is deliberate." And this is a long article, Monty. Maybe we'll take turns reading it. I'll start off with some of the bold print here, and we'll just pass off, and because this is very long, and I think of people saying, you know, Dave says Donald Trump's a Nazi. How dare he? Well, how dare I indeed?
Real quick, Dave, the article we're looking at is the Hannah Fry article, correct?
No, this is the Guardian article from October 7th of 2024. Donald Trump's...
Oh, excuse me. I see.
Yep. Donald Trump's Hitlerian Logic is No Mistake, by Sidney Blumenthal, from The Guardian of October 7th of 2024. And again, these articles will be in the descriptions for these programs.
Can I go ahead and start on that, or?
Well, let me start off, and then I'll hand off to you.
Sure thing.
And we'll just take turns here, like by a couple of jazz men soloing in a on stage in a gig.
Crazy. Let's go.
Alrighty. The subhead: the former president claims to have never read Mein Kampf, but his use of blood and soil rhetoric is deliberate. And it reads, in part, "If genealogy is destiny, as Donald Trump believes, then, quote, poison in the blood, unquote, a phrase Trump repeatedly uses, determines the fate of nations. By Trump's logic, quote, blood, unquote, is the true and final measure. Trump, like Hitler, appears to classify people and countries by, quote, blood, unquote, on a scale of their innate racial characteristics. Those features define the essence of nations, which are themselves delineated on a racial pyramid, with the purest and whitest, the most Aryan, at the pinnacle. True to his doctrine, the Nazis on his family tree must explain his penchant for Hitlerian logic. Quote, poison in the blood, unquote, was the core of Hitler's race doctrine as well. Hitler, too, believed it explained the rise and fall of civilizations. Quote, all great cultures of the past perished only because the originally creative race died out from blood poisoning, unquote, stated Hitler. It is also Trump's fundamental trope. Quote, we're poisoning the blood of our country, and you have people coming in. Think of it. Mental institutions all over the world are being emptied out into the United States, unquote, he said on Fox News in March. Quote, jails and prisons are being emptied out into the United States. This is poisoning our country, unquote. Just recently, on August 31st, addressing Moms for Liberty, a right-wing group devoted to book banning, he raised again the menace of, quote, poison in the blood, unquote. And here quoting Trump. But what's happening to our country is being poisoned, unquote. At a rally on September 18th, Trump elaborated, quote, they're coming from the Congo, they're coming from Africa, they're coming from the Middle East, they're coming from all over the world, Asia, a lot of it coming from Asia. And what's happening to our country is we're just destroying the fabric of life in our country, and we're not going to take it any longer, and you've got to get rid of these people, unquote. Quote, Blut und Boden, unquote, blood and soil, was adopted as an official slogan of the Nazi regime to express its ideal of the nation rooted in the authentic unity of Aryan blood. The community of its people, Volksgemeinschaft, comprised only those of shared ethnic blood. Aliens corrupting the blood, principally Jews, but also Slavs, Poles, and Roma, a.k.a. Gypsies, were described as disease carriers and, quote, vermin, unquote, Volkshadlinge, that's V-O-L-K-S-S-H-A-D-L-I-N-G-E, and posed an existential threat. Only those people of the blood belonged to the Heimat, H-E-I-M-A-T, a concept the Nazis cast as the racially pure home intrinsic to Blut und Boden. Jews were Heimatlos, a people separate from the Heimat without a true home, wanderers, cosmopolitans, and globalists, a menace to the sanctity of the culture and the identity of the nation. They were not simply outsiders or the other. They were a different species, subhumans, Untermenschen, and must be eradicated to preserve the blood of the race. Quote, although it has features similar to a human, the subhuman is lower on the spiritual and psychological scale than any animal, unquote, instructed a pamphlet entitled Der Untermenschen, illustrated with distorted photographs of these lower beings to depict the, quote, bestial, unquote, nature of the subhuman Jews and Slavs. 4 million copies were published in 1942 under the direction of Heinrich Himmler, the head of the SS. Why don't you pick up from there, Moppy?
Mm-hmm. In some cases, they're not people, in my opinion. Trump said this March. But I'm not allowed to say that because the radical left says that's a terrible thing to say. These are animals, okay? And we have to stop it. When they are removed, it will be, says Trump, a bloody story. Frederick Trump, Trump's grandfather, was deported from his native Bavaria as an undesirable and had his German citizenship revoked in 1905. Born in the town of Kastrat in 1869, he dodged compulsory military service and emigrated to the United States in 1885. Well, it seems like it's something that runs in a family, dodging military service. Continuing, in and around Seattle, in the Yukon. He owned restaurants and hotels that also did a brisk business as brothels. He returned to Germany as a well-to-do man, married Elizabeth Christ, and took her to New York. He returned to Kostock to settle, but the authorities investigated him and ruled.
By the way, Bob, I just want to interrupt. I don't know how the name is pronounced. It's spelled crisp, like in Christ. I think it is pronounced crisp, but it's spelled capital C-H-R-I-S-T. Continue, please.
I see, Elizabeth Christ. Continuing. He returned to Kostock to settle, but authorities investigated him and ruled he should be banished for dodging military service. He wrote the Prince of Bavaria a letter begging to stay. Quote, "Why should we be deported? This is very, very hard for a family," end quote. His plea was rejected. He was expelled. Upon his return to New York in October 1905, a son named Fred was born. The Trump family saga began. The Trump and the Christ families, with the exception of Friedrich and Isabella Trump, remained in Kostock. Many of them served in the Nazi army. Some of them members of the Nazi party. Two of these relatives of Donald Trump are now known to have fought and died for Hitler. It appears that they were involved in the early stage of the Holocaust. The research of a certified professional genealogist distinguished in the field discovered these Trump Nazi soldiers, but prefers to remain anonymous to avoid retribution. If blood is the biological marker of an indelible persona, racial and ethnic character, then by his own reasoning, Trump's organic linkages to Nazis must inexorably explain his unapologetic Hitlerian politics.
I'll pick up from there. I want to interject just very briefly. The only financial institution that would finance Donald Trump and his business operations long after others had stayed away from him was the Deutsche Bank, one of the top Nazi banks. And I've forgotten the guy's name was Val. Anyway, but the guy who was in form-giving documents about that to the FBI died of, I think, an alleged drug overdose at the end of Trump's last term. Let me just continue with this. I just wanted to note that in passing here.
Of course, of course.
Ernst Christ, again, C-H-R-I-S-T, of the Christ branch of the family, a first cousin once removed of Donald Trump, the son of his great-uncle Johannes Christ, born in Kallstadt, was a Nazi. Unteroffizier Christ, a corporal, served in the first company of the Panzerjäger Abteilung 670, an anti-tank unit that saw action on the Western Front in Belgium and France before being transferred to participate in the invasion of Russia. In July of 1942, Christ's company occupied the town of, I'm not going to attempt to pronounce it, Poldovitoye, about 100 kilometers south of Stalingrad. The Nazi soldiers rounded up about 100 Jewish families who had fled there from throughout the region. According to Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Research Center in Jerusalem, quote, Jews were loaded onto trucks supposedly to be taken home. In fact, the victims were taken outside the village toward a ravine located 50 meters south of the village. There, the victims were shot or probably severely wounded and then doused with some highly flammable liquid and then set on fire, unquote. A month later, on August 13th, Unteroffizier Christ was killed in battle. 3 days before, on August 10th, the Wehrmacht reached the outskirts of Stalingrad. This would be August 10th, 1942. On that day, Private Eduard Freund, F-R-E-U-N-D, born in Kallstadt, was killed. He was the first cousin once removed of Donald Trump, the son of Donald's great-aunt Elizabeth Trump and Carl Philip Freund. Private Freund served in a security unit, the 4th Company of the Sicherungsbattalion, that's S-I-C-H-E-R-U-N-G-S, Battalion 790, whose task of guarding supply lines and police work quickly turned, like that of all such units, into the operation of wholesale brutal terror. He was one of those soldiers from, quote, all walks of life, unquote, described in historian Christopher Browning's Ordinary Men, who found themselves occupiers in Eastern Europe to execute the regime's policies often under the control of the SS, where, quote, mass murder and routine had become one, unquote, murdering partisans and civilians alike and systematically killing Jews. The policy was justified in a phrase, Jude gleich Bolshevik gleich Partisan. That's capital J-U-D-E-G-L-E-I-C-H, Bolshevik, capital B-O-L-S-C-H-E-W-I-K, gleich B-L-E-I-C-H, Partisan, P-A-R-P-I-S-A-N, or, quote, Jew equals Bolshevik equals Partisan, unquote. And why don't you pick up there, Bobby, when the word says if blood?
If blood is the biological marker of an indelible personal racial and ethnic character, by his own reasoning, Trump's organic linkage to Nazis must extortably explain his unapologetic Hitlerian politics. On Fox News in March, Howard Kurtz, the host of its show Media Buzz, interviewed Trump. Quote, why do you use words like vermin and poisoning of the blood, he asks. The press, as you know, immediately reacts to that by saying, well, that's the kind of language that Hitler and Mussolini used, end quote. To which Trump replied, quote, because our country is being poisoned, end quote. But another Trump relative stands as a repudiation of Trump's theory. John G. Trump, Fred's younger brother, did not go into real estate. Instead, he earned a master's degree in physics and a doctorate in electrical engineering. He became a co-inventor of the high-voltage electrostatic generators, which during the Second World War, he applied to advancements in radar. He served as the secretary of the Microwave Committee, created by the federal government's new National Defense Research Committee. After the war, he was appointed director of MIT's High Voltage Research Laboratory, whose work he used in cancer research and on environmental pollution. His obituary in Physics Today in 1985 by a colleague paid tribute to his personal virtues as well as his scientific contributions. Quote, Trump's remarkable personality mix contributed to all of this achievement and success. He was remarkably even-tempered, with kindness and consideration to all, never threatening or arrogant in manner, even when under high stress. He was outwardly in appearance, the mildest of men, with a convincing persuasiveness, carefully marshaling all his facts, end quote. Furthermore, wrote his eulogist, quote, he cared very little for money and the trappings of money, end quote. In other words, John Trump was nothing at all like his bullying, ignorant, and greedy nephew who bears the middle name John, the only apparent correspondence between them. The resemblance, regardless of genetics, is nil, yet Trump cites him as proof of his intelligence, a case positive of blood, quote, I had an uncle who went to MIT who is a top professor, Dr. John Trump, a genius, Trump said in an interview with CNN in 2015. Quote, it's in my blood. I'm smart. Great marks, like really smart, end quote. From time to time, he brings up his uncle as his forebear of his own, quote, genius, end quote. Quote, good genes. Very good genes, okay? Very smart, end quote.
I'm going to pick up from there, and then we'll hand off. Through his distorted lens, Trump's uncle, who was the opposite of a narcissist, serves as a rationale for his narcissism, meaning Trump's. He is held up as an example of Trump's, quote, blood, unquote, mania, that the scientists in the family had no use for the sort of malevolent superstition the Nazis propagated and his nephew mimics. Trump designates his blood as superior and the blood of those he chooses to demonize as inferior. Quote, well, I think I was born with a drive for success, unquote, Trump told CNN in 2010, again quoting, I'm a gene believer. Hey, when you connect two racehorses, you usually end up with a fast horse. And I really was, you know, I have a a good gene pool from the standpoint of that, unquote. Trump designates his blood as superior and the blood of those he chooses to demonize as inferior. Quote, I have an Ivy League education, smart guy, good genes. I have great genes and all that stuff, which I'm a believer in, unquote. Trump informed the crowd in Biloxi, Mississippi in 2016. He had recently called for a ban on all Muslims entering the U.S. Quote, you have good genes, you know that, right? Unquote, Trump told another nearly all-white rally during his 2020 campaign in the Minnesota town that had voted against accepting refugees. Quote, you have good genes. A lot of it is about the genes, isn't it? Don't you believe? The racehorse theory. You think we're so different? You have good genes in Minnesota, unquote. He compared and contrasted. Quote, every family in Minnesota needs to know about sleepy Joe Biden's extreme plan to flood your state with an influx of refugees from Somalia, from other places all over the planet, unquote. Still quoting, why do we want all these people from S-blank-blank-blank whole countries coming here, unquote, Trump bemoaned in the White House meeting in 2018. He pointed to Haiti. By the way, that's where the Haitians, obviously, they're the ones in Springfield, Ohio, demonized by a blood tribe of Christopher Polhouse, and that picked up in the debate by Donald Trump and echoed repeatedly, and to this point in time, by J.B. Vance, despite the fact that the Republican mayor of Springfield and the Republican governor of Ohio, in a full-page op-ed piece in the New York Times, said it's a lie. Anyway, continuing. And resuming after a little bit before that. Quote, why do we want all these people from S blank, blank, blank whole countries coming here, unquote, Trump bemoaned in the White House meeting in 2018. He pointed to Haiti. Pick, quote, pick them out, unquote. El Salvador and the entire continent of Africa. Quote, we should have more people from Norway, unquote. This April, at a fundraiser with donors at Mar-a-Lago, Trump proudly recalled his, quote, S blank 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 whole countries unquote moment to elaborate on his categories of acceptable and unacceptable immigrants. Quote, and when I said, you know, why can't we allow people to come in from nice countries, unquote. I'm trying to be nice. Nice countries, you know, like Denmark, Switzerland. Do we have any people coming in from Denmark? How about Switzerland? How about Norway, unquote. Trump claims he has not read Mein Kampf. His first wife, Ivana Trump, said he, quote, reads a book of Hitler's collected speeches, My New Order, which he keeps in a cabinet by his bed, Vanity Fair reported in 1990. Parenthetically, that was published as a sequel to Mein Kampf. Continuing, Trump explained it was a gift from a Jewish friend. Then he told Marie Bremer of Vanity Fair, quote, if I had these speeches, and I'm not saying that I do, I would never read them, unquote. As Trump ginned up his third campaign, Hugh Hewitt, H-E-W-I-T-T, a right-wing radio talk show host, tried to help cleanse Trump of taint from his, quote, poison in the blood, unquote, incantations. Quote, now, Mr. President, unquote, said the deferential Hewitt, your critics say that you were using Hitlerian language that was used to dehumanize Jews by saying that Jewish blood cannot be part of German blood. Do you have anything like that in mind when you say poisoning our blood, unquote? Trump. No, and I never knew that Hitler said it either, by the way, unquote, Trump replied, again quoting, and I never read Mein Kampf. They say I read Mein Kampf. These are people that are disinformation, horrible people that we're dealing with. I never read Mein Kampf. And go ahead, Marvin, why don't you pick up from there, asked again by Hewitt.
So asked again by Hewitt, Trump answered, first of all, I know nothing about Hitler. I am not a student of Hitler. I never read his words. Then they say that he said something about blood. He didn't say it the way I said it either, by the way, end quote. Then after showing he was familiar with Hitler's blood obsession that he had just said he did not know about, he repeated his poison meme 8 times. Quote, I know nothing, end quote, was the comedic punchline of Sergeant Schultz, the buffoonish Nazi prisoner of war camp guard from the 1960s television series Hogan's Heroes. I know nothing has been useful, if transparently false, tactic of deflection for Trump. From David Duke, quote, I know nothing about David Duke, okay, end quote, to the Proud Boys.
And by the way, that's not part of the Oath Keepers that Sheriff Bianco's a member of. Continue, Moppy, please.
I see. After the violent neo-Nazi march in Charlottesville in 2017, ringing with chants of, quote, Jews will not replace us, end quote, attended by a number of Proud Boys, Trump infamously stated that there were, quote, very good, fine people on both sides, end quote. When Chris Wallace, the moderator of 2020 CNN presidential debate, asked Trump if he would denounce white supremacists, he replied, quote, Proud Boys, stand back and stand by, end quote, a message to the neo-fascist paramilitary group that would be the shock troops in the attack on the Capitol on January 6th. After the debate, he told reporters, quote, I don't know who the Proud Boys are, end quote. Now he has pledged to pardon those Proud Boys and others serving prison terms for their actions in the insurrection of January 6th. He refers to them as, quote, hostages, end quote. When white supremacists, neo-fascists, and neo-Nazis attach themselves to Trump, sometimes appearing as more than a fringe, white supremacists, neo-fascists, and neo-Nazis attach themselves, sometimes appearing as more than a fringe, excuse me, including recently the self-proclaimed black Nazi, Mark Robertson, the Republican candidate for governor of North Carolina, whom Trump called, quote, Martin Luther King on steroids, end quote. Neo-Nazis just seem to pop up weirdly on Trump's property. At Mar-a-Lago on 22 November 2022, Trump had a night to remember. Dinner with anti-Semitic rapper Kanye West, a.k.a. Ye, and Nick Fuentes, a neo-Nazi, who was a leader at the Charlottesville March and Riot, present in the mob at January 6th, who has built an anti-Semitic following he calls the Gropers.
That's spelled, Bobby, couple, Gropers, unquote. Continue, please.
Right. Afterward, when the press reported on the dinner, Trump issued a statement that Ye brought, quote, a guest whom I had never met and knew nothing about, end quote. Trump's footsie with Nazis mingles narcissism with Nazism, but it is his belief in the far-right replacement theory, which is the central idea of his campaign, that provides the greatest illumination on what are more than overlapping coincidences? The historical lineage of poisonous ideas rather than, quote, poison in the blood, end quote, explains Trump's doctrine of a master race, whether Trump is aware or not of the origins of his venom. Trump's embrace of the replacement theory may owe a good deal to its relentless promotion by its chief exponent, Tucker Carlson, who also serves as an intellectual mentor to J.D. Vance. On more than 400 shows when Carlson was on Fox News, according to the New York Times, quote, he amplified the idea that a cabal of elites want to force demographic change through immigration, end quote. On his 2 September podcast, Carlson interviewed a self-proclaimed, quote, non-racist fascist, end quote, Daryl Cooper, whom he introduced as, quote, the best and most honest popular historian in the United States, end quote. For 2 hours, he held forth on Winston Churchill as, quote, chief villain of the Second World War, end quote, and the Holocaust as an accident forced upon Hitler. Despite Carlson's Nazi fascination, his principal influence has been a recent popularizer of a doctrine developed more than a century ago.
Let me pick up from there, Marty.
Of course, thank you.
When Trump says immigration, he means race. When he says crime, he means race. When he says communism, socialism, or Democrat, he means race. Trump's replacement theory is derivative of the nativism of eugenicists and, quote, race scientists, unquote, especially Madison Grant, G-R-A-N-T, whose 1916 book, quote, The Passing of the Great Race, warned against, quote, the old stock being crowded out, unquote, by, again quoting, swarms of Polish Jews, unquote, and other aliens who were pushing aside, quote, the Nordic man, unquote, and fostering, quote, suicidal ethics which are exterminating his own race, unquote. Grant served as an advisor to the congressional members who wrote the Immigration Act of 1924, which severely restricted immigration of those ethnic groups from Eastern and Southern Europe that he deemed inferior, closing out Italians and Jews. He also helped write laws in the South banning interracial marriage. Hitler regarded Grant's book in his speeches as scientific proof and wrote him an admiring letter telling him that it was his, quote, Bible, unquote. Quote, it was America, in spite of its enormous territory, that was the first country to teach us by its immigration law that a nation should not open its doors equally to all races, unquote. Hitler told the New York Times in an interview on December 20th, 1931, before he seized power, quote, let China be for the Chinese, America for the Americans, and Germany for the Germans, unquote. In 1936, the Nazis promoted the passing of the Great Race as a central reading for Germans, quote. The irony is that by putting Madison Grant's theories into practice, the Nazis discredited those theories forever, unquote, wrote the historian Jonathan Spiro in his biography of Madison Grant, Defending the Master Race. That is, until Trump. I would add parenthetically, as we've looked at, these things have been developing for a long time. Continuing. When Trump says immigration, he means race. When he says crime, he means race. When he says communism, socialism, or Democrat, he means race. When he says America is declining, he means race. When he says America first, unquote, he means race. When he says blood, he means race. When he says poison, he means race. When he says race, he means black people. When he says race, he means Hispanics. When he says race, he means Muslims. And when he says race, he means other white people too, some less white, less pure, less clean, less acceptable, depending on their ancestral origin than others. When he says race, he means the replacement theory. Trump has Hitler on the brain in unknowable ways until he lets his admiration seep out. Quote, well, but Hitler did some good things, unquote, Trump remarked to his White House Chief of Staff, General John Kelly, again quoting, well, what, asked Kelly, again quoting, well, Hitler rebuilt the economy. By the way, in the primaries, it was said that Trump would basically, after getting elected in 2024, he would rebuild the economy of the Reich, unquote. Very interesting choice of words. Continuing. Well, Hitler rebuilt the economy, Trump replied. Kelly was outraged. He told him, quote, sir, you can never say anything good about the guy. Nothing, unquote, Kelly reflected. Again, quoting, it's pretty hard to believe he missed the Holocaust, though, and pretty hard to understand how he missed the 400,000 American GIs that were killed in the European fever, unquote, Kelly told Jim Sciutto, S-C-I-U-T-T-O, the CNN correspondent. Again, quoting, but I think it's more, again, the tough guy thing, unquote. Trump's insatiable need to play act, by the way, I'll interject. And since this time, General Kelly has flat out said, well, Trump is basically a fascist. Continuing. On September 17th, Trump launched a new theme with an old echo. He made a prophecy about who should be blamed if he is defeated in the election. Quote, I'm not going to call this as a prediction, but in my opinion, the Jewish people would have a lot to do with a loss, unquote, he said. Then he repeated, unquote, if I don't win this election, and the Jewish people would really have a lot to do with that if it happens, because if 40%, 60% of the people are voting for the enemy, unquote. He complained that as, quote, the most popular person in Israel, unquote, he was not, quote, treated right, unquote, by American Jews. And why don't you finish off the article, Trump? Monty, help. I'm reading ahead here. Continue.
Trump's Jewish son-in-law, Jared Kushner, his converted Jewish daughter Ivanka, his Jewish grandchildren, his Jewish advisor Stephen Miller, who is poised to be the implementer of the replacement theory and deportation of millions, including legal immigrants, and his Jewish supporters and donors are exempt from his condemnation of the, quote, the Jewish people, end quote. Trump's family ties don't give him pause for his obsession. His blood makes them kosher. In the case of an inconvenient contradiction, his narcissism prevails. Trump's blame game is his version of the, help me with the stab in the back legend.
Dostos legend, that's spelled capital D-O-L-C-H-S-T-O-S-S-L-E-G-E-N-D-E. Continue, Marty.
That Germany did not lose the First World War in battle, but was betrayed on the home front by Jews and leftists. Hitler traced his political awakening to his understanding of Dostos, or stab in the back. After all he has done for Israel, the quote Jewish people, end quote, are ungrateful. Too many of them support the quote enemy, end quote. Trump is warming up his myth of a scapegoat.
Yes, indeed. A couple of things I want to interject, following that. Ivana Trump, his first wife, and Donald Trump were married by Norman Vincent Peale, best known for the book The Power of Positive Thinking. In one of the books available on the 64-gigabyte flash drive for download for free is the book Undercover by John Roy Carlson in 1943, and Norman Vincent Peale, that same Norman Vincent Peale, was fronting for Edward James Rumley, an early member of the American Nazi Party. And Ivana Trump was not available. I don't even know if she was called to testify at January 6th inquiries, but she would not have been able to do that because she died supposedly from falling down a flight of stairs and sustaining a fatal contusion on her torso. While I wasn't there, perhaps such a thing is possible, but I would think more likely one would damage an extremity in falling down a flight of stairs. But in any event, that was the end of Ivana Trump, who again testified or stated to Ms. Bremer, Marie Bremer of Vanity Fair, that Trump kept a copy of Hitler's speeches in his nightstand for late night reading. By the way, the name of the son of the Deutsche Bank official who committed suicide was Valbrook Smith, and he either died of an alleged drug overdose or took his own life as well. The next article by CNN, from CNN, October 7th of 2024, we'll just read a little bit of this. Trump suggests undocumented immigrants who commit murder have, quote, bad genes, unquote, by Kate Sullivan of CNN. Former President Donald Trump on Monday suggested undocumented immigrants who commit murder have, quote, bad genes, unquote. In the latest example of the former president using dehumanizing rhetoric as he tries to stoke fears about those in the country illegally. In a radio interview on the Hugh Hewitt Show, Trump again distorted statistics on immigration and crime to attack Vice President Kamala Harris as he falsely claimed she was, quote, allowing people to come through an open border, 15,000 of which were murderers, unquote. Still quoting, you know now a murderer, I believe this, it's in their genes. We got a lot of bad genes in our country right now, unquote. Trump said. So that, I think, speaks for itself. Monty, why don't you just read a little bit of our next article here. This is from Mother Jones Magazine. It's from September 17th of 2024. Trump just introduced a new dangerous immigration proposal by Isabella Dias, D-I-A-S. And by the way, this is one of the many articles contributed by Tara Fackrell, our brilliant contributing editor. And this is for a concept called remigration. Go ahead, Marty. Why don't you start reading with this?
Over the weekend, Donald Trump took to True Social to elaborate on how he would, quote, end the migrant invasion of America, end quote. The candidate for president, who has repeatedly vowed to conduct the largest mass deportation campaign in U.S. history, exhumed the usual laundry list. He would, quote, stop all the migrant flights, end quote, do away with the Biden administration's custom and border protection model app, and halt refugee resettlement. None of these proposals are new or surprising coming from the Trump campaign. But one part of the GOP nominee's weekend post stood out. Quote, we will return Kamala's illegal migrants to their home countries, Trump wrote. Former White House senior advisor Stephen Miller reposted it saying, quote, all caps, the Trump plan to end the invasion of small town America, re-migration, end quote. What did Trump and Miller mean by re-migration? Even seasoned immigration policy analysts had to look up the term. Trump here uses the phrase re-migration. Yeah, I was unfamiliar with the term, so I Googled it. Wikipedia describes it as a far-right political concept largely used to describe the mass deportation of non-white immigrants and their descendants. Re-immigration is a 2019 article about the rise of extreme anti-immigrant language in Europe from the Associated Press explains is the, quote, chilling notion of returning immigrants to their native lands and what amounts to a soft-style ethnic cleansing, end quote. The word stands in for a policy that entails the forced reparation or mass expulsion of non-ethnically European immigrants and their descendants, regardless of citizenship. With little fanfare.
Let me reread this passage again, Ma, because I think it needs to be emphasized. This is the concept of remigration. R-E-M-I-G-R-A-T-I-O-N. The word stands in for a policy that entails the forced repatriation or mass expulsion of non-ethnically European immigrants and their descendants, regardless of citizenship. Very important here, because think about the legal or the illegal precedents this will establish. The word stands in for a policy that entails the forced repatriation or mass expulsion of non-ethnically European immigrants and their descendants, regardless of citizenship. With little fanfare, Trump seems to be hinting at bringing an even more radical idea into his immigration proposals to Miller's all-cap cheers that goes further than the mass, quote, deportation of the undocumented population. The value-neutral term remigration, unquote, has been employed in anodyne ways, for instance, in the context of Jews returning to Germany after World War II. But the word has been co-opted by far-right groups, mainly in European nations, and is synonymous with these movements now. In France, one-time far-right presidential candidate Eric Zemmour, capital Z-E-M-M-O-U-R, proposed the creation of a, quote, remigration ministry, unquote. Speaking at the National Conservatism Conference in Brussels this April, Zemmour denounced the, quote, Islamization of the continent, unquote, as an existential threat to European civilization. Why don't you continue from there, Monty?
Most notably, remigration has gained a stronghold in Germany. In 2023, a jury of linguists in the country elected remigration the non-word of the year for its, quote, deliberately ideologically, end quote, appropriation as a euphemism for the forced expulsion of people to, quote, achieve cultural homogeny and ethnic homogeneity, end quote.
That's a cultural hegemony and ethnic homogeneity. Continue, please.
I see. Quote, the seemingly harmless term remigration is used by ethnic nationalists of the, quote, Alternative for Germany, AADF party, and the Itinerant movement to conceal their true intentions. The deportation of all peoples with supposedly the wrong skin color or origin, even if they are German citizens, end quote, one guest juror said. Last November, members of the far right, AFD, neo-Nazis and business people reportedly gathered in Potsdam to discuss the plans for mass deportation, including of, quote, unassimilated citizens, end quote, with non-German ethnic backgrounds. The man behind the master plan to relocate asylum seekers, foreigners with lawful status and some Germans of foreign origin to a so-called, quote, model state, end quote, in North Africa was the Austrian identitarian activist Martin Selner, last name spelled S-E-L-L-N-E-R. More recently, according to local reports, an AfD candidate in Stuttgart campaigned with the slogan, quote, rapid remigration creates living space, end quote, a nod to the concept of Lebensraum used by the Nazis to justify the genocidal expansion into Eastern Europe. Trump's mention of remigration didn't go unnoticed. Selner, who has been barred from entering Germany and the United Kingdom and had his visa-free permit canceled by U.S. authorities in 2019 over suspected links to the Christchurch, New Zealand shooter, appeared to celebrate on X, Twitter, the former U.S. president's, quote, calls for remigration, end quote, as a victory.
Oh, well, Marty, we have about 9 minutes left in this program. I want to emphasize here that one of the people endorsing Trump's proposed policy is a neo-Nazi, quote, identitarian, unquote, from Austria, where the, quote, Freedom Party founded as a vehicle for the reintroduction of Nazi veterans of Hitler's Third Reich into Austrian political life is now, I think they are now into a coalition government in Austria. And note here where it says, Selner, who has been barred from entering Germany and the United Kingdom and has had his visa-free travel permit canceled by U.S. authorities in 2019 over suspected links to the Christchurch shooter, who apparently, by the way, had also been visiting Ukraine and networking with some of the Azov elements, as I've spoken about in past programs, appeared to celebrate on X the former U.S. president's, quote, calls for remigration, unquote, as a victory. Well, I think, well, he should. And we will be talking later in this series of programs about Trump's proposals and what they are leading to, and comparisons with what Hitler did as well. Just reading a little more of this article. Most Haitian, and this is after J.B. Vance's call, most Haitian migrants in the U.S. have received legal status under the Temporary Protected Status Program or a Biden administration, humanitarian parole initiative, and are authorized to work. And by the way, employers in Springfield, Ohio, have spoken very highly of their Haitian employees because they work hard and they stay at their machines right at the closing time. And again, Mike DeWine, the Republican note governor of Ohio, stated in a full-page editorial in the Sunday New York Times that this was simply not true. The governor of Springfield, Ohio, claimed that the whole notion that Haitians were stealing people's pets and eating them is not true. And yet Vance has stated, even if he has to make things up to point out how the American people are hurting, he's going to continue to do that. This is very, very, very important. And note that Trump is planning, or he's talking about, remigration. And that this talks about, he wants to get rid of people or deport people who are the descendants of people whose blood, again, coming from this very same Mother Jones article from September 17th of 2024. Remigration, as a 2019 article about the rise of extreme anti-immigrant language in Europe from the Associated Press explains, is the, quote, chilling notion of returning immigrants to their native lands in what amounts to a soft-style ethnic cleansing, unquote. The word stands in for a policy that entails the forced repatriation or mass expulsion of non-ethnically European immigrants and their descendants, regardless of citizenship. With little fanfare, Trump seems to be hinting at bringing an even more radical idea into his immigration proposals to Miller's all-cap fears that go further than the mass deportation of the undocumented population. And again, I want to note that Trump is talking about not only how very bloody this is going to be, we'll talk about this in our next program, He's talking about using the military to do that. He's also talking about using the military to neutralize, imprison ostensibly his political enemies. This is very, very significant. It seems really radical, which in one sense it is, and yet, as we have documented in this series and in the previous conversations with Moppy, and again, your brilliant work, parsing from the Warren Commission testimony exhibits themselves, this is simply the fulfillment, the perpetuation through the decades of a domestic gladio. And when you see elements like the American Nazi Party, the Ku Klux Klan, the National States Rights Party, the Minutemen, etc., although they are not coterminous, they are not separate from the, quote, deep state, unquote, that Trump says he's going to get rid of. He actually works for it. They're not coterminous, but they are shock troops of the fascist phalanx that has basically taken over this country, and it is fulfilling its takeover. And they're also plausibly deniable. They can say, well, those are just far-rightists, etc. Once again, as I speak on October 26th of 2024, I want to emphatically encourage listeners to this program to get the 64-gigabyte flash drive with all of my life's work on it, printed and audio. There's also a mini library of old anti-fascist books, including the aforementioned Undercover from 1943, available on easy-to-download PDF files. And all of our conversations with Moppy to date and probably for, you know, X period of time in the immediate future. All of those are available, and all of my work on the origins of COVID is available as well. And what could perhaps be seen as proof positive that my most vicious critics are correct, that I'm nuts. I get no money whatsoever from this. This is my entire life's work. Moppy, of course, gets no money from this as well. But please get that 64-gigabyte flash drive. Even people like John Kelly and Mark Milley are echoing what I've been talking about. So are many others as well, as we will see. But it is extremely late in the day. I don't think we're going to make it. I do think as sentient beings, you have I would call it perhaps a divine, existential responsibility to preserve a record of what really happened. And that way, when your descendants are living in a rusted-out Chevy sport van baffling former Army Rangers for rat-killing proof. And when they say, Grandpa or Grandma, what happened? Why are we living in a rusted Chevy sport van baffling former Army Rangers for rat-killing proof? Then you can explain to them, well, it wasn't always like this, grandchildren. This was allowed to happen. It was building for a long time. It began in the immediate aftermath of World War II. I say, Monty, that on November 22nd, 1963, two wars both thought to have ended a long time before ended. One of those was the Second World War, and the Axis won, fascism won. The other was the Civil War, as people in the South call it, the War Between the States, and the South won. And if that seems to be paranoid, crazy, what have you, just watch what is happening now, please. This concludes For the Record program number 1354, Conversations with Moppy. This is conversation number 28. This is being recorded on October 26th of the year 2024. For Moppy, this is Dave Emery saying, trick or treat.